Now for the main feature, The Legend of King Arthur, a choral symphony by Eleanor Remick Warren. Several years ago on Into the Light, I played most of this work, but I had to cut part of it in order to fit our one-hour format. I've always wanted to play the whole thing, so we will hear part one now, and next week I'll start the program with part two. Eleanor Remick Warren was born in Los Angeles in 1900. By the 1930s, her songs were being performed all over the world by singers such as Kirsten Flagstad. She also began to work on orchestral and choral music. In 1959, she went to Paris for lessons with Nadia Boulanger. These lessons made her reconsider the orchestration of her earlier works, many of which underwent extensive revisions. That includes the work we're about to hear, which she even retitled, changing it from The Passing of King Arthur to The Legend of King Arthur. In her later works, Warren moved away from her neo-romantic style to a more angular, though still entirely tonal, language. She received many commissions. Her orchestral works were performed more than those of any other American woman composer during the 1970s. The choral symphony, The Legend of King Arthur, created a sensation when it was premiered by the Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra and Oratorio Society and carried live coast to coast on the Mutual Broadcasting System in 1940. As early as the 6th century, evidence of the existence of a great warrior king is woven among many legends. By the 12th century, Arthur's legend had developed into a considerable body of literature. Although there are numerous variations, the basic story remains the same. Arthur, illegitimate son of the King of Britain, who has been raised in secrecy, wins acknowledgement as king following the death of his father by successfully withdrawing a sword from a stone. Arthur proves to be a noble king and a mighty warrior, the first to envision and materialize the dream of a unified Britain. However, he is forced to struggle against treachery within his own family and is finally mortally wounded by Mordred, variously identified as either his son or his nephew. A prime contributor to the Arthurian lore is Alfred Lord Tennyson, who, in 1842, won public and critical acclaim upon the publication of his Idylls of the King. When Eleanor Remick Warren heard Miss Vance, her 12th grade English teacher, read the great epic poem aloud in class, she was mesmerized. She immediately longed to set this text to music, but waited 2 decades until she felt she had acquired the skill to embark upon this work. The Legend of King Arthur is written in 2 parts, divided by an orchestral intermezzo. The first part places emphasis on the drama of the final act of this legendary ruler's life, when he is mortally wounded and commands Bedivere to throw the sword Excalibur back into the sea, which Bedivere cannot bring himself to do until the 3rd try. The second part of the piece emphasizes the spiritual aspects of the story, when King Arthur, his earthly destiny fulfilled, is placed on the barge and borne away by the 3 mysterious queens, to the Happy Isles. There are some recurring musical motifs representing King Arthur, the sword Excalibur, the lake waters, and barge themes. The baritone Thomas Hampson sings the role of King Arthur. Tenor Lawrence Vincent sings his youngest knight, Sir Bedivere, who, before Arthur's death, must return the magical sword Excalibur to the depths of the lake from where it came. The chorus of Krakow narrates the story. The Polish Radio and Television Symphony Orchestra is conducted by Simone Cavalla.